Debbie Schlossel, welcome back to Jewish Community Radio. How you doing?
Thank you. Doing great.
It's a beautiful day here in Cleveland, at least right now when I'm recording this. I'm recording this part of the live show a day early on Thursday, but I am going to be live in studio on Friday for the show. So tell me, Debbie, how you doing first? You're doing great?
Fabulous.
That's good. Now, the question I had for you, the reason why I wanted to have you on this show today is, and I'm hearing reports of this, I mean, I know what I have to say about it, but I like to hear it from somebody without even, you know, knowing what I'm going to ask them. And with this war that has broken out in Israel over the past month, I'm curious, are you seeing an increase in anti-Semitism?
Definitely. It's a marked increase.
Now, you're a writer. You have a website, DebbieSchlossel.com. You're definitely political.
Or DebbieDoesPolitics.com,
yeah,
for those who can't spell my name.
It's a tough name to spell. How do you spell your last name?
S-C-H-L-U-S-S-E-L.
And it's Debbie... And it's DebbieSchlossel.com.
Right.
So tell me, you're saying there's an increase of anti-Semitism. Now, I know that I've seen it. But my question is for you is that, is it because of this war situation? Is it a result of it? Is it because people are less inhibited? Why are you seeing, or why do you believe there is an increase?
Well, I think you hit on several things that I think are all kind of intertwined here. I think that because Israel is trying to defend itself against Hamas and there's a war going on, although now there's a truce and we'll see how long it lasts, I think that people feel that they can be uninhibited and say whatever they want. And so they're saying their true feelings, which is Jew hatred. And the other thing is, I do think that anti-Semitism has been steadily increasing for several years, since right before 9/11 and especially since after 9/11. And I think it's, you know, now just increasing exponentially because of the war. But also, I think people really hate Jews and they feel this freedom to say stuff that they wouldn't maybe normally say in public. Also, I do think that Israel has been weak because it allowed all these rockets to drop on the country for years, and it finally did something, and its response has been very measured, even though, you know, we're told that it's disproportionate and all these other epithets and adjectives. It really has been measured for a country that's had rockets falling on it daily. And so I think that when Israel is weak or wimpy, the world and the anti-Semites in it become more brave to attack Jews because they see us as weak, because they see Israel as a proxy state for us, and in many ways it is. And so they feel that Israel is weak, we're weak, and therefore, you know, the bully always picks on the weak kid. The bully doesn't pick on the big kid who's the quarterback or who's the lineman on the football team. He picks on the scrawny water boy. And, you know, they see us as that.
So you're saying that blaming Israel is an excuse for anti-Semitism?
Oh, for sure it is. Listen, a lot of people like to say, oh, I'm just anti-Israel, but I don't hate Jews. But then you go out and you look at all these protests around the world against Israel, and every single one of them has broken out into anti-Semitism. In fact, in Germany, they allowed some of these protesters to use the police speaker so that they could chant anti-Semitic slogans. They've had swastika signs at a lot of these protests. They've told Jews to go back to the ovens. Now, if they were just against Israel and not Jews, why would they say and do these things? It's clearly about Jews. And, you know, it's not just me saying it. Woody Allen, who is no right-winger, he's not, you know, somebody that's very nationalistic about being Jewish, but he even told Israeli television, I think last year, that he believes that when people attack Israel, what they're really talking about is Jews. And, you know, Martin Luther King Jr., the leader of the civil rights movement, no right-winger, he also said to somebody at a question and answer session at Harvard, when people are anti-Israel or they're talking about Israel, they're attacking it, they're really talking anti-Semitism. He didn't use those words exactly. I can't remember his exact quote, but he said something to that effect. And he recognized it. And John Voight, who is not Jewish, who is the actor, he recognized that and said that when some of these movie stars, for example, Javier Bardem and Penelope Cruz, attack Israel and accuse it of genocide, which is false, they're really anti-Semites. And he believed, he said he didn't think they were, but he did question, you know, the growing movement in Hollywood and elsewhere, and said that there seems to be a group of people, and most of these people seem to use Israel and their attacks on Israel as a proxy for their real vicious hatred of the Jewish people.
You know, it's interesting you mentioned Dr. Martin Luther King, because I do know the source of that, and I actually wrote about that, and there's a book that was written by a George Mason University professor who passed away, and his name is Dr. Seymour Martin Lipset, and yes, he was actually there, and he quotes that in his book titled The Socialism of Fools, the Left, the Jews, and Israel. And I want to read that quote to you while you brought it up. And he stated, this is him speaking, this is right from his book. Professor Lipset said, "Shortly before he was assassinated, Martin Luther King Jr. was in Boston on a fundraising mission, and I had the good fortune of attending a dinner which was given for him in Cambridge. One of the young men present happened to make some remark against Zionists. Dr. King snapped at him and said, quote, 'Don't talk like that. When people criticize Zionists, they mean Jews. You're talking anti-Semitism,' end quote." And that's right in Dr. Lipset's book.
Right. And it's very, and he said that, and, you know, there are people that have worked with Martin Luther King who have said that he was against anti-Semitism and this kind of thing. And here he is, he's saying, and he's the an expert on civil rights and on hatreds of peoples, and he says, when you hate Israel, you're hating the Jews. And, you know, that's why we're seeing this, I think, marked increase of anti-Semitism, because all of these people that hate Israel, they are admitting what they really think, and it's really not about Israel. It's about the Jewish people around the world, how they hate us, they want to get rid of us, they're jealous of us, they resent us, and so on.
And we're speaking here with Debbie Schlussel, the famous writer, talking about anti-Semitism that's cropped up over the past month since this war in Israel with Gaza. And let me ask this question. I was at a rally, it'll be a week ago today from the broadcast of the show, in which the Hamas supporters were chanting loudly in front of the Jewish Community Federation, "From the river to the sea." What does that mean?
Well, what that means is that they want Israel wiped off the face of the map, because it's a common chant among Palestinians where they say that from the river to the sea, this is going to be our country and we're going to take revenge and claim our land, which isn't their land, but they claim that, and that's what they mean by the river to the sea. They don't want any Israel. So all of these peaceniks who say, "Oh, you Jews, you should have a two-state solution. Why can't you live in peace with the Palestinians?" Well, there is already de facto, essentially, a three-state solution or a four-state solution, because there is Israel, there is Jordan, which is majority Palestinian, there is the Palestinian Authority, and then there is Gaza, which is basically run by Hamas and Palestinians. So they have three Palestinian states, one Jewish state in between them. And the one Jewish state is already living with these Palestinians, three states, essentially, even though Gaza and the Palestinian Authority aren't really officially states yet, but they operate somewhat as them, and some of the UN bodies have recognized them. So Israel is already living with this, and it's not enough. These Muslim Palestinians want, and all of the Jew haters who are both Muslim and non-Muslim, they want the Jews removed entirely from the Middle East, and they want the entire Israel for themselves. And they will do so whether they can get it peacefully, which, of course, we see now they don't do things peacefully, or violently, which they seem to have this predilection for with rockets and so on. And they don't just want the Jews from the river to the sea, because as we see it, all these anti-Semitic protests against Jews everywhere, they want Jews everywhere else to disappear as well. So this is really a Judenrein, to use a German term from the Nazis, which means Jew-free goal that they have.
Well, let me ask one more question, and I appreciate you coming on here. And I've never heard, ever throughout history, any country being questioned whether it has a right to defend itself. I've never heard, does the U.S. have a right to defend itself? I've never heard, does England, does China, does Russia, does Cuba? I've never heard any question about any country, whether the U.S. agrees with them or not, being questioned about having the right to defend itself. Yet I'm hearing a constant question in the media, which basically boils down to, does Israel have a right to defend itself? And people are saying, yes, Israel has the right to defend itself. President Obama said Israel has the right to defend itself. Why? I'm asking you that question. Does Israel have the right to defend itself? But why is that even a question?
Well, I'm glad you said that, because nobody should even have to say that. A sovereign nation, which Israel is, has the right to defend its borders and its people within those borders. And it has the right to do so by any means necessary if there is a fatal threat to its people or any kind of physical threat to its people. It shouldn't be a question. Nobody should even have to say that. And it's interesting that when Israel has had to defend itself, especially these last 3 or so weeks when the rockets have been raining down, you haven't heard a single peep about, for example, the Pakistani army, which at the same time had murdered 1,600 of its own people, something like that. It was like between 1,100 and 1,600 of its people, and it was all to find tunnels that terrorists were using to sneak in weapons from the Taliban and other Islamic extremist groups. So tunnels, that's the same thing that Hamas was using to smuggle in weapons to hit Israel. And so it's interesting that there is no outrage against Pakistan. Why? Because it's Muslims against Muslims. Apparently that is the only distinction. And in this case, it's Jews. And Jews, apparently, unlike any other people in the world, are not allowed to defend themselves. And it's funny because all of these anti-Semites who always dispute the numbers of Jews who died in the Holocaust, another thing they always ask is, why didn't the Jews rise up? Why didn't they defend themselves? Well, look, first of all, they did try to defend themselves, so it's a myth. There were lots of groups like the Bilski brothers that were portrayed in the movie Defiance, and there were many other Jewish militias that did try to defend themselves. There was the Warsaw Ghetto Uprising and so on. But look what happens when Jews do try to defend themselves. When they do try to do that, what happens is the world rises up against them and expresses this full outrage that they have tried to defend themselves, because I think the world would prefer, as we see in a lot of these anti-Semitic protests, that the Jews did go back to the ovens and that maybe we did disappear, because then maybe everything would be so calm and peaceful. Well, it wouldn't be.
Well, I could tell you something interesting. My father survived Auschwitz, and I learned something interesting this week, and I thought I would share this with the listeners. I learned that while my father was in Auschwitz, he came back from a work camp. He was very weak, and somebody who they called the rabbi gave my father food and basically probably sacrificed himself for my father. So I'm very thankful for that. And the reason I say that is because, not because of me, but in a sense, the Jews in the concentration camps fought to defend themselves so that the next generation can live. And some older man wanted my father, who was a young child at the time, to live. So we did defend ourselves as best as we could. But sometimes, unfortunately, people find themselves on the losing side of that fight. And one thing I do know is that the resolve in Israel is strong, very strong, and Jews will not surrender. Israel is not going to go away, no matter how much some people want Israel to vanish.
God willing.
Debbie, I want to thank you for joining us here on Jewish Community Radio. I know that you're a busy, busy person. We're recording this in advance because I know your schedule is sometimes kind of tough. So I do appreciate it, and hopefully we will be seeing some peace in our era very soon.
Amen. God willing, I hope for that.
Debbie Schlossel, welcome. I should say thank you for joining us. And your website again is DebbieSchlossel.com. And how do you spell your last name again?
It's S-C-H-L-U-S-S-E-L, or you can go to DebbieDoesPolitics.com.
Great. Thank you so much. Shabbat Shalom.
Shabbat Shalom.